Amen. Again, today is the wrap-up for Christmas for Christ, so if there is some last-minute thing you want to do for Christmas for Christ, then today would be the day. Amen. I'll be happy to give you that total here just as soon as we get it, probably next Sunday. I would think we'll know. I'm pretty sure we're approaching, last I heard, we were just below the $7,000 mark. So praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32 down to 35 is where I'd like to bring your attention. Amen. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Someone say those last few words with me. Favor of the Lord. Anybody want to find favor of the Lord? It's my topic today. I hope God will speak to us. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We are asking, Lord, together in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that your will would be accomplished. Lord, that your favor, Lord, the favor of the Lord would be upon this people. Lord, that you would bless, Lord, the hearer, Lord, that you would put words in my mouth, God, that you would touch our hearts, and Lord, that your will would be accomplished. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Continuing a few more places, I've got more scripture to read. John chapter 3, verse number 8. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And also from Joshua chapter 3, verse 3, it says, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Amen. The favor of the Lord. I don't know that there is, in fact, I do know there is nothing on this earth that I want more than the favor of the Lord. Amen. The favor of the Lord on my life is more desirable than any other thing that I could possibly imagine in this life. Amen. In this portion of Scripture, the Spirit, the wind, the breath, it's talking about the Holy Ghost, the presence and the moving of God. In John chapter 3, verse number 5, down through verse number 8. In fact, this portion of Scripture was even mentioned in our Elements class this morning. In the beginning portions, John chapter 3, verse number 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Got a little bit of room, ring sound person. Would you help me, please? John chapter 3, verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 8 is the key verse that I want to take from. The wind bloweth. The wind moves. The Spirit moves. Where it listeth, or where it wants to. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. This is it's a beautiful foretaste, if you will, of the promises which the disciples were to receive on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, just a little bit further along in Scripture, it tells us that the initial sound that they were talking about was tongues. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, God was speaking through them while He was filling them with His Spirit. What an awesome thing it is. Amen. We're a privileged people. Amen. We are a privileged people that can know the presence of the Lord. Amen. In John chapter 7, verse number 39, it says, He that believeth on me, get this now, there's a comma, as the Scripture hath said. Man, we got to believe it just like the Bible says. We got to believe it just like the Scripture said. Now it tells us, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the book of John. And still, at this time in Scripture, Jesus was with them. Jesus had not yet died. Jesus was not yet buried. He was not yet raised from the dead to be ascended and glorified. You see, it was after the fulfillment of Jesus' purpose, after His victory on the cross, victory over death and hell and the grave, after Jesus was victorious, He would pour out this gift that He spoke of, the Holy Ghost, upon all of them that believed. I tell you, the Holy Ghost, the presence of God, the moving of His Spirit is meant to be for every one of us. Jesus instructed them to tarry or to wait. Douglas, that's again for you. No, it's a little joke because we went to church on Friday night together and we got to talk in the truck and we talked about waiting. You know what? God will help us to wait on Him. God's will be fulfilled when we wait on Him, when we do His will, when He wants to do it. Praise the Lord. Jesus instructed them to tarry or to wait in the city of Jerusalem until the promise of the Father, the power from on high, the Holy Ghost was then, in the book of Acts, poured out upon them. You see, what we received what we received even today, this gift that was poured out at Pentecost is what Jesus had promised. It's exactly what He said would happen. The Pentecostal experience was the fruit of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. Amen. It is the fruit of the ascension and glorification exactly as Jesus had promised. Jesus keeps His promises. Amen. Again, John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind, the Spirit bloweth, or it moves where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. I tell you, God wants to move on every one of us just like he did on those in the book of Acts. Just like those that received his Spirit in the Bible. Let me pause for just a moment here. In the Old Testament, the priests were to go out in front of the people. In Joshua chapter 3, verse number 4, it says, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it." It's talking about the Ark of the Covenant, the presence, the place where God's presence dwelled. See, there was this pillar of fire by night and a pillar of a cloud by day, and it was the moving of the presence of God that would lead them. But there was to be a space about 2,000 cubits by measure. Now, we don't measure by cubits today, but it was a measurement in their day. They were not to come near unto the ark, to the presence of God, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way hitherto. Or you haven't gone this way before. You know what? This walk of living for God is so precious. It is so powerful. It is so anointed of God. It is so a fulfillment of the promises of God. But you know what? Many of us, including right here in this church today, there are people under the sound of my voice that have not passed this way before. Amen. God is leading you into things that you have not done yet. God wants to do things in your life that you have not experienced yet. There are things that God has for you that you don't know of yet. Praise the Lord. You see, the eyes of the people were there. They were to stay on the ark. Howbeit, 2,000 cubits. Now, a cubit was from the elbow to the tip of the finger, about 18 inches. And that would be about 2,000 cubits would be about 3,000 feet. So the ark was out in front of the people. And when the ark moved, when the presence of God was moving, the ark moved with it. Amen. And the people were to follow the presence of God. The ark was to give them direction. You see, where there is no vision, the people perish. So where is your walk with God taking you? Some people would say, "Well, I don't know." You know what? I know I want to follow God. I know that God is going to do great things. I'm convinced that God will keep His Word. Amen. People, even then, in the Old Testament, following after the ark, they were looking for direction. I tell you, people today, people in our society, people in our church are looking for direction. Where does God want to lead me? How is God going to use me? What does God want to do? We know where to go through the anointing and the presence of God. Amen. You see, it's not the singing, although I really appreciate the singing and the worship that goes on in our church. I really appreciate the presence of the Lord that I could feel when I'm worshiping the Lord here in our church. I appreciate the musicians that are talented and the singers that sing, and I appreciate the people that worship. It's not the singing that I desire. I appreciate the building that God gave us. I appreciate the privilege to be here and gathered together in this building, but it's not the building that I desire. Amen. when you see the priests with the ark, when you see the pillar of fire, or you see the pillar of the cloud, when it starts to move, go after it. Amen. You know what? It's the same thing today. When God is doing something special in the midst of His people, when the church is moving and in a particular way, then I got to get off of my pew and get up and follow the Lord. Amen. You know what? There's going to be a lot of things. Sister Greeley had mentioned it. There's a lot of activity and things on our calendar in this coming month and the month of February and even into March. There's much going on and there's a lot going to happen. And you're wondering, well, what am I going to do? You need to get involved and get up and go after it yourself. Nobody is going to make you be blessed by God. Amen. You've got to choose the favor of the Lord. See that? Do you want the favor of the Lord in your life? Well, then you're going to have to go after it. Amen. You're going to have to follow after the presence and the will and the purpose of God. You're going to have to get involved in what God is doing to find the favor of the Lord. Amen. I desire the blessings of God in my life more than any other thing on this earth. More than finances, more than popularity, more than having authority, more than any other thing in all of the earth. I desire the favor of the Lord. Now, I do want to, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'll tell you over and over. My life is blessed by God. I am blessed. My marriage is blessed. My children live for God and they're blessed. Amen. I've got grandchildren that are blessed by God. If you've been called to be a witness, you're blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Eric is here today because he met John at a vending machine. Praise the Lord. You're blessed. Amen. Joel talked to his neighbor and that neighbor wants to come on Wednesday. Well, you're blessed. When you talk to your family member, when they show up for church, you're blessed. Do we even understand how blessed we are? Can you just open your eyes and see the blessings of God upon you? Praise the Lord. Would you do me a favor and bring me that box of tissues? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We are blessed. We're blessed at Apostolic Lighthouse. Amen. It's a privilege to know. I don't wonder or think or ponder. I know who God is. Amen. I know that His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. I am altogether, totally, every part of me knows that Jesus is God. Amen. I'm blessed. It's a blessing to know who God is. God's blessings do not come by luck or by happenstance. God's blessings are always on purpose. Amen. Amen. God knows what He's doing. Amen. Blessed are they that keep my ways, I read in our opening text. There are specific reasons why God's blessing is upon us. God's blessings come through responsibility. They do not come automatically. God's blessings come when we obey the Lord our God. When we submit ourselves to the Lord our God. Some, you know, I have watched even from my youth, even as a young adult and even new into the church, I could see people both in my life, in my family, I could see them yet even in the church that there were some that were blessed and there were some that were not. So why is it? Why is that? That some are blessed and some are not. You see, I want to find out. I want to know why people are blessed. Because I want the favor of the Lord on my life. I want to be blessed. You see, God's blessings makes all of the difference in my life. If I can be anything or do anything, it is because of the blessings of God. Amen. God blessed me in my home. He's blessed me on my job. He's blessed me in the church. God's blessings are upon me. Praise the Lord. There are some people that God has to bless. You see, he is bound by his word. And on the opposite side of that coin, there are others that he cannot bless. Again, because he is bound by his word. God cannot, he will not bless the transgressor, the sinner. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning at verse 26 to 28, it says, "Behold, I set before you this day blessing," or "a blessing and a curse." There it is, laying it out. There are those that are blessed, and there are those that are cursed. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. Verse 28, "And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known." Man, I don't want to chase after the things of the world. You know, that's the old man. That's the old way. That's the carnal nature. I don't want to chase after the things that the world is chasing after. But I do want to find God's blessing. I do want to please the Lord. I do want the favor of God in my life. You see, when you find God, when you are serving the Lord, when you have the favor of the Lord upon you, God's blessings will chase you. He is going to put his blessing upon you. You see, the entire chapter, this Deuteronomy chapter 28, it speaks of God's blessings to those that walk after the Lord. Let me use just a little bit of this. Going on to verse number 3, it says, Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks and thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You want your life to be blessed? Find the favor of the Lord. Amen. We have to find the favor of the Lord. You see, the difference between Esau and Jacob was how each of them desired the blessings of God. The inheritance was more than donkeys and camels. This life is more than your 401k or your bank account. It's more than the guy who wins with the most toys, or the guy who has the most toys wins. That's garbage. It's flesh. Carnal. I want the favor of the Lord. Amen. Esau desired the material side. Jacob desired the relationship with God. Esau despised his birthright. You see, it had no significant value to him. Some people would think, well, why do you go to church every single Sunday? Why would you go to prayer on Monday night? Why do you go to a church in the middle of the week? Why would you go on a Wednesday? Why do you go to rally on Friday night? Why do you do all those things? You see, I want the favor of the Lord. To the world, it might not make sense, but to me, it makes all the sense in the world. It makes all the difference in the world. I want the favor of the Lord on my life. It's more important to me to have the favor of the Lord on my life than it is to work two more hours of overtime. Sorry if I'm stepping on your toe right there. But when you have the favor of the Lord on your life, you will be better off than if you make two more hours of overtime. You know what? You will be blessed. You will be blessed when you have the favor of the Lord. It's not the carnal things. It's the spiritual things. I want the favor of the Lord on my life. Amen. There's some people that don't put real value on spiritual things. But there is real value in spiritual things. More value than that of the carnal. More value than that of the man, of nature, of carnality. You see, Esau despised his birthright and he did not hold significant value, but not Jacob. He desired it so much that he was willing to let everything else go in order that he would have the blessing. Amen. Like Jacob, I desire the blessing of the Lord. Amen. I want the blessing, the favor of the Lord on my life more than any other thing on earth. It does not matter where they put you, what they do to you. If the blessings of God are upon you, God will bless you. Your talents and gifts are not what placed you where you are today. It is the blessing of the Most High God. Amen. It's not what I've done. It's what He did for me. It's what God has blessed my life with. Some people are willing to do anything in spite of adversity to proclaim or support what they believe in. Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God, and I choose to serve the Lord. I want the favor of the Lord on my life. God, I tell you, I can see our church approaching a very strategically important place in our lives. Amen. We are coming up to the precipice, to the point where God is going to do wonderful things in our life. And I'm telling you, God wants to have the favor of the Lord upon you. But you got to choose to follow it. You got to choose to go after it. You got to choose to serve the Lord. Choose you this day if you will serve the Lord. Amen. It's your choice. It's your call. You see, spiritual miracles are going to happen to push back Satan's strongholds. Amen. What has been holding things back in your family, in your home, in your life, in your children, in your marriage, those things that have been holding things back are about to be set free in the Lord. Amen. With the favor of the Lord on my life. You got to chase after it. You got to follow after it. You got to do the things to serve the Lord. And God now writes His laws on the fleshly tablets of the heart. Amen. Yes, there was a time where Adam and Eve communed with God in the Garden of Eden. He talked with God in the cool of the day. We can still talk to God. You can pray and find Him. Amen. We can pray and seek Him. If you'll seek Him, you'll find Him. Pray and seek His face. Find yourself in the Word. It will speak unto us. Find the favor of the Lord. God writes His laws on our heart. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, Ezekiel in the Old Testament, he prophesied. Ezekiel prophesied of the spiritual restoration of the nation of Israel and what they were to be, what God was going to make them to become. You know, it seems like in the flesh, it's impossible. Ezekiel spoke of a valley that was full of dead, dry bones. And he prophesied of the restoration of a nation, that life would be brought by the breath of God. You see, God wants to breathe His breath into us. God wants to speak through us with the presence of the Holy Ghost. God wants His presence in His people. Ezekiel 37 and verse number 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I tell you, our world is full of dry bones. Dry, dead bones. I'm talking about spiritual things right now. People that are blind, people that do not see, people who cannot feel, people who do not know of the presence of the Lord. But as for me, I want the favor of the Lord on my life. Amen. I desire the favor of the Lord on my life. Looking at that valley, it seemed like an impossibility. And how could these bones ever live? God, you know how to do it. How could our society ever turn to God? How could people ever know about this truth? How could our world all be filled with the Holy Ghost? How could God do miracles? Thou knowest, O God. Amen. God is able to bring people to the truth. God is able to bring dead bones to life. God is able to open revelation in our mind that we might know Him, that we might have the favor of the Lord. 10 chapters later in Ezekiel, he spoke of spiritual waters, of going deeper into the things of God than we have ever been before. This portion of Scripture, I'll be honest with you, it's one of the most precious portions of Scripture to me in all of the Bible. You know, it's one of my very favorite sermons that I've ever preached is the spiritual waters of the Lord. And I'm not here to preach that whole sermon, but I do want to point out this portion of Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 47, and starting with verse number 2 to down to verse 5, just this little section, he spoke of spiritual waters, about going deeper into the things of God than we have ever known before. Amen. And you know what? I'm looking at people that know who God is. I'm looking at people that know of the presence of the Lord. I know that there are people here today that are convinced that they want the favor of the Lord on your life. I know that. But I also have this for you. God wants you to go deeper. God wants you to go further than what you have known before. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 2. Then he brought me. God wants to bring you somewhere that you haven't yet been. God wants to show you things that you haven't yet seen. And he brought me out of the way, the gate northward. Out of the way is out of our custom. Out of the things that I'm used to doing. You see, if you just keep doing what you've always been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've already had. Why don't you try following the Lord and growing in Him? Venture out into a deeper spiritual walk. Amen. Pray. Fast. Seek His face. Find those things in the Word that are deep and powerful and valuable and precious. Something that is different than what we have known before, coming out of our own way. And He led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. The waters here is speaking of the moving, the presence of the Lord. Verse 3, and when the man that had a line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Amen. There's been even at least 2, maybe more people that even spoke with me today. You know, their religious background as a younger person in some years past, they used to be Catholic. You know what? Even Catholics believe in God. Amen. But there is more for you to have than what you'd find there. Amen. Come on out of the way and find what God wants for you. Amen. In deeper waters. Amen. God wants you to step out into some place you have not been before. Amen. This spiritual place that he's talking about, when he went 1,000 cubits. God brought him a long way. God brought him to the place where he was in the presence of the Lord. Spiritual waters. They were ankle deep. When you get started in God, you're going to find that verse of Scripture on our wall right there. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It is the beginning of our walk with the Lord. When we repent of our sins and we are baptized, those heaters have been plugged in for some time now. I believe the water is warm today. Praise the Lord. You could be baptized today if you've never been baptized. You see, that would be an example of stepping out into spiritual waters. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ before, maybe you've been a believer in the Lord. Maybe you knew there was a God. Maybe you went to church as a young person. Maybe you know that God is real. You've had an experience with God, but you've never repented. Maybe you have repented. You've asked God to forgive you. But you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus. That's stepping out into the spiritual waters. Amen. It's stepping out into a place that you haven't been before. It's taking a step of faith and going into the spiritual things that will bless your life and have you be in the favor of the Lord. Amen. We are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because that's the only name that can save us. There is no other name given among men. There is no other name. Do you know that nobody, not one person anywhere in all of the Bible was baptized in any other name than Jesus? Amen. In the New Testament, in Jesus' name is how people were baptized in the Bible. Amen. It's stepping out. Stepping in. Stepping in to the things of God. Now maybe you've experienced that water. You've repented. You've been baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There are people under the sound of my voice that have experienced the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They've spoken other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. They have the favor of the Lord in their life. Amen. Verse number 4. There's no period there. Doesn't stop there. Verse number 4. And he measured 1,000. And he brought me through the waters. And those waters were to the knees. God wants us. God wants people in our church to step out into spiritual things that you have not yet experienced. Amen. You see, when we are walking on the ground, it's a type of our doing our own thing, of our fleshly habits and desires. You know what? We need to do things that will bring us the favor of the Lord. Amen. Part of our discussion in our class, and I'm veering off and chasing a rabbit right here, but it's football season, and the Super Bowl's coming. If we have church on Super Bowl night, go to church. Put God first. Amen. Don't let anything come between you and your walk with God. Don't let anything become more important in your life than your walk with the Lord. Everything about serving the Lord is important. Amen. And he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the loins. You know, maybe you've been living for God for a while. Maybe you know about God already. Maybe you've experienced the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you've seen God do wonderful things in your life. You could raise your hand and say, God healed me. God gave me a miracle. God did wonderful things in my life. Well, praise the Lord for that. You've got the favor of the Lord. But get this now. God didn't want you to stop there. That's not the place to be content in. Verse number 4. And again he measured 1,000. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Verse number 5. Afterward he measured 1,000. Get this now. And it was a river that I could not pass over. For waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. You know what? You will not, don't worry, my friend, you won't get too much of Jesus. You won't overdose on the Lord. Amen. You go ahead and get as much as you can get. You get as close to God as you can get. You get as much of the Lord in your life as you can possibly have. Waters to swim in. The waters were risen. You see, it's endless. It's endless, the wonderful workings of God and the glory in His name. It's endless. You see, the restoration of the church. You know, musicians, would you come? I'm wrapping this up. Today, the challenge of producing a new generation of disciples. That's a challenge. I thought it was eye-opening to me. I went with Douglas and John to the children's ministry conference on Friday night, and we were, you know, chit-chatting and talking on the way there, and you know, we were driving over to the service, and it's an hour drive over to Bristol, and we were talking quite extensively. And this little piece just kind of poked me right in the belly. Just boink. You know, I was telling him about Bristol. It's a really good church. My son is the co-pastor there. And in March, he's going to be installed as the senior pastor of the church in Bristol. And that I was in that church until 2005 when I came down here to be pastor. Then Douglas said, "That was the year I was born."
Oh boy.
Boink. Oh, boy. Poke me right in the belly. Wow. That's amazing. I've been pastor for 19 years. Here we got 19-year-old guys serving the Lord. Amen. Looking for the favor of the Lord in their life. When I look, it is very encouraging to me to see young men wanting to serve the Lord. Amen. But let me tell you the truth. I was in their shoes. I was 20 years old when I came back to the Lord, and I started again to serve God with a serious nature. I wanted the favor of the Lord on my life. Amen. When I was in their shoes, just getting going good in God until where I am now, years later, God has brought me a mighty long way. Do you realize I can tell you that God has delivered me from attacks of demons? That God has put before me and done, as I prayed, God did miracles. I'm telling you, blinded eyes have been opened. Amen. Deaf ears have been unstopped. Broken bones have been mended. Cripples in wheelchairs have got up and walked. Cancers have been healed. Marriages have been restored. The lost have been saved. Drug addicts delivered. Not just a few. Not just one or two. But I'm talking about hundreds. I would even dare say thousands of times. I have seen the favor of the Lord on my life. But you got to choose to serve God. the church, every generation has come to this point. Every church has got to have the next generation have their own experience with God. The crossing of the Red Sea, the great Exodus, where they were delivered from Egypt, the walk of spiritual deliverance to freedom. You know, there was a group of people that walked through the Red Sea. They had an experience with God. God did wonderful works before their eyes. It was a miracle set before them. And then came the next generation. All the people that didn't believe, they died in the wilderness. You know, those people who don't believe this truth, they're not going to have the fulfillment of the favor of the Lord upon them when they do not believe. You have to believe. Amen. We got to have an experience for ourselves. Joshua was the next generation. He had to carry the torch and he had to bring the people to the fulfillment of God wanted for them in their lives. Do you know that God brought them through the Jordan when the river banks were overflowing with flood? As the priest stepped at the bank of the water, as they were carrying the ark, they were going to step into the water and it parted and became dry ground. The next generation walked through the waters on every side. They had an experience themselves. Now, I can tell you that God is a really good God. I can tell you that God still does miracles. How that God opens the blinded eyes and He opens the deaf ears and He heals broken bodies and He puts lives back together. And God does the miraculous. He's the miracle working God. I can tell you all the things that I've witnessed, that I've been a part of, that I've seen with my own eyes. But this is the next generation. This is the next group of people that are living for the Lord. Stand with me. I'm telling you, you got to have an experience with God yourself. You got to want it. You got to find it. Amen. You got to choose to serve the Lord. Just as it was back there in the Old Testament. Choose you this day. Are you going to walk in the flesh and trust in carnal things? Are you going to believe the Lord and trust in the favor of the Lord upon your life? I encourage you. Let's find the favor of the Lord in our life. Amen. Would you lift your hands?